That podcast voice is much better than mine, I must say.
But I'll probably talk normally when I do that. Yeah. I don't think I'll do the podcast voice with you tonight.
You can do it at least one
time. I'm the interviewee, not the interviewer.
when we talk about your podcast, we'll... All right, everybody. Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. This is your host, Edison. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere we have stars. And click the button on the bottom right corner for YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. All the episodes are coming out to YouTube now. We have a special episode coming from Atlanta, Georgia. We're covering the Miss Universe event, and we have CEO of Pageantry Magazine sitting with us, Carl Dunn, today. How are you today, sir?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing excellent. This is the Super Bowl of pageants.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't
want
to be here in town?
Right.
Miss Universe, SEC weekend.
Oh, on top of that, right. We're here with LSU. LSU staying at the Marriott as well.
That's great.
So tell me, first of all, your magazine is one of the oldest running in the United States. It's been running for over 40 years now. So just in regards to, you know, your family started this magazine and now you had to take it over. Tell me about that transition during the early life of your career where, you know, you took this magazine over and made it your own.
How long do you have for the podcast?
Oh, I have as long as ever. There's no timeline. There's no timeline.
Well, it actually even goes back further than that. My family,
okay,
we actually have started the beauty pageant industry in the United States for young ladies 3 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 17, based on the natural look, kind of the Miss America look,
right,
for lack of a better word. And we started that in 1962, and then 40 years ago,
okay,
we actually took our newsletter and turned it into the industry's positive, neutral magazine, went directly to newsstands. So we cover most of the major national events, you know, right, around the world.
Okay. And you're here now for Miss Universe this weekend, obviously. Tell me about, like, you know, just in regards to your magazine and the consistency you have to maintain to keep your history alive, in a sense, you know, to make sure that, you know, you still stay relevant and to teach us younger generations how we can be at your level in 10, 20 years.
Well, and the younger generation, my sons are teenagers, so I try to relate.
Right.
You know, as best I can. But
especially with technology. Yes,
and after 40 years, you know, we've gone from the old film days where a color page was 4 pieces of film, expensive, to digital, a lot easier now. You can turn things a lot faster, even after press, before you actually pull it off. If you need to change a page, it's easy. But in the 40 years, there's been a lot. But, you know, we work at the major systems. We know we've helped some of the major ones that, you know, may not be on television, but are very well known within the industry. We've helped them launch. Some started off with, you know, 10, 20 contestants, and I've seen them grow to 200, 300, 400, 500, some over 1,000.
You know, and that was our pageants, right.
Exactly. And that was our background, you know, as producers of the largest ones, you know, at one time in the United States. And we've worked with Miss Universe, many covers, Miss USA, Miss America, National American Miss, Royal National Miss. So there's a lot of them that are out there that you may not be as aware of within our industry that are important. And a lot of these are scholarship-based pageants as well.
Oh, okay. All right,
so but Miss Universe is the Super Bowl because all the countries are coming in,
right,
for this.
So generally speaking, since this is kind of new on our show, for most pageants, what are the girls really aiming to win out of them? What's the end goal for a lot of these girls that you've seen throughout your career?
Well,
especially for some of the smaller pageants besides Miss Universe that everybody knows.
That's a great question. And a lot of it is based on the actual event itself. Miss America was originally formed, or now is, the largest scholarship provider for young women in the United States.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Miss USA, Miss Universe, a lot of them look at that as an entree into a career in the entertainment industry,
okay,
whether it be Instagram star, television,
modeling,
movie,
et cetera.
Modeling, et cetera. So, and a lot of these young ladies will cross over between the actual events themselves. Many of them have done that. Several Miss USAs. For instance, for this state, we're also Miss America at this same state, you know, on different years. So there's a crossover, but it's a wonderful industry. But more importantly than anything else, one of the reasons that we've always loved it, and one of the things that it does more than anything else, it gives these young ladies poise,
okay,
self-confidence. As someone who used to be an instructor and a speaker for Fortune 500 companies, I could speak to someone like yourself and know that you have been in front of authority figures. In an interview, always such an important part.
Right.
It's not so much do I agree or disagree with your answer,
but
how well can you explain your view to me?
Right.
As opposed to, I like world peace.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
a people person. you can listen to these young ladies and know that they have grown up doing this sometimes from a younger age.
And yeah, that some is of these girls in the teen competitions, they're entering at 15 and they already have to kind of maintain a certain type of look and, throughout their whole life from a young age.
15? How about 5, 7, 10, 12, 13?
Right, even younger. Yeah.
And even look at someone like right now, our current Miss USA. 2 law degrees, a practicing attorney.
Yeah.
And she is Miss USA competing here for Miss Universe.
And on top of that, I even heard Ireland, Miss Ireland is works for NASA. So you could imagine, the level of, they're not just offering, it's not just a pretty girl walking up on the stage.
A wonderful industry, and
this is a role model. Every single girl is their own role model for their country.
I even tell my sons, and they would hate that I say this, but I tell them, look at these young ladies. This is who everyone should aspire to be. They are learned. They are accomplished. They are educated. They are goal-oriented, and they know how to time manage because, they're taking speech classes, wardrobe, school. Again, some of them already
have
careers.
On top of that, maintaining their figures
is hours on end.
It's
amazing. It is really amazing.
It's kind of incredible how much they can do in such little time also because a lot of these girls, they're only winning their representing country a couple months before coming here.
Exactly.
So, from that to here, they don't even get to enjoy a little bit of their success. They have to right away be into the mentality of, I have to compete with the whole world.
And again, with my family being involved since 1962, you can imagine how many that I have seen do this.
Right, right. So, in your opinion, from yesterday's competition, who would you say are your favorites?
Well, everybody asked me that, and I have not to be politically correct in this politically correct charged climate that we live in today on social media. But you never know. Lots of times, I'll have something in mind. Mm-hmm. It comes to fruition. Sometimes, I'll go and scratch my head afterwards.
Right. I mean, clearly, you're not the judge, but in your opinion.
I am always intrigued with how the judges are instructed. And I know whoever tomorrow night walks away with this Miss Universe crown will be the best representative of the organization's values and what they promote as instructed to the Miss Universe organization's selection committee.
That, my friends, is how you answer a question politically without answering a question.
And
please learn from this man.
And on a selfish note, who will give me, and there's no doubt about it, will be a beautiful cover. And it will be a wonderful interview as well.
Yeah, there you go. So whoever wins is the greatest. In other words.
Politically correct there.
There you go.
And again, without kind of, there are different ones. For instance, at some events, there is a mandatory talent competition. Mm-hmm. And some of these are like on the lines of The Voice or other things. But that is mandatory for them. We're here, there is no talent competition. Right. It is interview. Right. It is swimwear. Some have dropped swimwear. Some have brought swimwear back in. Evening gown. Some also have community service-based points.
Okay.
So it depends. It's on this. And again, a lot of these young people, and of course they're young to me now. At one time we're all the same age. But you see that they do compete in different ones because it is a growth opportunity. Whether it's at a pageant, whether it's a modeling or talent competition, whether it's at a performing arts. We're now partnering with another one. It's called the World Championships of Performing Arts. And young people, solo and teams, come from all over the world to compete in front of scouts. If you like Cirque du Soleil, to bring them in as performers. And that's what they win as well.
Yeah.
So I call it the glamour lifestyle industry.
So over the years of maintaining your magazine, et cetera, what do you think has changed the most in the pageantry game over the generations?
Everything that changes remains the same. The core values never change.
Right.
You have different competitions come in. Where now there's a lot of what they call pro-am modeling or super modeling. A lot of now will do portfolios. They'll actually win points for a actual professional modeling portfolio that they have brought in to be judged upon.
Okay.
The core, usually interview, evening wear, party dress for younger girls, athletic wear or swim wear, have always pretty much stayed the same. But again, sometimes now you don't have to compete in everything to win an overall crown. A lot of these newer competitions, they'll do a lot of optionals. Okay. Like, I don't have to do talent to win this one, but I can compete in talent to win a talent prize and a talent scholarship as well. That's been the biggest change, is that it's broadened out, as opposed to, you want this, you have to go to this event. You want this, you have to go to this event. Mm-hmm. A lot of them now do it. And not only that, is that the age demographic has expanded dramatically. Normally it was 3 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 17, 18 to 24, or 26, or now 28, depending on the pageants. But now, as opposed to a miss, now a lot of events have a Mrs., a married women, a Ms.
Right.
One of the fastest growing segments now is the senior ladies, where some of the, you know, young women that I looked up to when I was younger are now competing in that. Of course, now they have the ability, you know, expendable income. They can travel easier than some of the young ladies here that are in school, still law school, or just starting careers. But now you have a range anywhere from, you know, young children up to senior women.
Yeah.
It has just amazing.
How the pageantry is growing in general.
That's been, it shows how important it is to these people.
Right.
That no matter how old they've gotten, they've always looked at it. Some of them just enjoy the spirit of competition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some use it to further a career.
Yeah.
The senior women just spoke at the United Nations on International Women's Day.
Wow.
So this is what they're doing out there. A lot of them support the veterans.
Right.
You know, wounded warriors. So that's been probably the biggest change, is that it's just been an explosion within, from its infancy.
From a couple of competitions, it's just grown to more and more and more, and it's broadened.
I can't even keep up with them.
So now, in regards to Miss Universe, there's been a lot of girls that haven't won, but have used this platform to grow their career a lot further. So what are some tips that you would give a girl entering Miss Universe for the first time on how she can really utilize this platform to their best potential?
Well, and that's a great question, especially today. And let's use a former Miss Universe, an example, mm-hmm. Olivia Culpo, with millions of followers. Mm-hmm. Now, some do better than others.
Right.
And in this day and age, certain genders and genres do better than others as well. Excuse me. And the notoriety that comes with that, you always have to be very careful of that. But it is a launching pad into many other things. Many of these, you know, when I grew up, and the original Catwoman, Lee Merriweather, former Miss America. So it's always been there. But in today's society, and with especially social media, you have such a quicker, instantaneous connection with your followers. Now, followers and clicks don't always translate into money.
Yeah.
But also, and a lot of companies have, you know, stopped using what they call the influencer model.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives them an ability to show who they are, what they are, and promote themselves to further normally a career, either within the entertainment industry, modeling, or something similar to that.
So tell me about the transition from just being a magazine to now having to keep up with today's world of consistently improving technology. You have new social medias, new types of pages that you have to keep up with on the basically on a yearly level. So tell me about that first initial transition from a magazine to now you have to turn everything into digital. And, of course, a lot of the history gets lost with that transition. So tell me about that work with your magazine.
Well, yearly is now daily.
Daily, right.
You know, so, you know, we've been a print publication for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2007, we were probably either number 98 or 96, somewhere in that area, worldwide, that actually went digital.
Okay.
And it was and the coloring was always a little bit different. We've always still done the print.
Mm-hmm.
But the digital, we made a decision to go that route because, one, once the print is sold out, whether it's on the newsstand or your archives or subscribers, once it's done, there's no way to do it again. You can't go back and reprint a magazine. Very cost ineffective.
Right.
But digital gave us a way to archive. So if it is sold out, or someone who's looking to study the industry, whether they're through coverage of like Miss Universe. Go ahead. You like this so far? She's being quiet back there. No one's heckling us.
No one's heckling us.
So you can kind of splice in when I kind of just think
exactly
about how we went back over.
Yeah, it's just because obviously these cameras, they always stop recording after a certain amount of time.
Just pick up running your go.
Yep, exactly. So as you were saying.
And then going to digital with the old film days, what it allows now is someone can go back and look at old magazines for inspiration or to learn something from one of our expert writers, whether it be communications, fitness, modeling, acting, hair, makeup. They're all there. It's a wealth of information. That's been the biggest part going to digital.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the speed with which I can now put it together, without having send pages out every night. Got to get the film made. You find a mistake, you're all redoing. That was always expensive. So digital is making it a little more cost effective, but also speed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, with all the other adaptations, love social media, this, whether, you know, the Facebook, the Instagram. We also do the Pageantry podcast, very similar to what we're doing here today.
Yeah.
And for years that had been on iTunes only. But as of sometime this week, I'm waiting for the go ahead. It will also be on iHeartRadio.
Yep.
And we also have the rights to pageantry.tv. So eventually, some young man like yourself may be sitting here interviewing you for me.
There you go.
So there's, you know,
this collaboration is in the works, as you guys saw that. That's almost a signature.
Just have your manager call me after the interview. Have your manager call me.
Yeah.
But as new things do come out, you always look at it. You know,
again.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, having that instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I'll let, you know, what they would call mainstream media, kind of get theirs out of the way because then it's gone. You know, it's yesterday's news is this.
Right, right.
But because we are the leader of the glamour lifestyle industry, which is what I call it.
Yeah.
We can cover it more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just for the evening telecast or the, you know, the clickbait tomorrow morning.
Right.
This is for posterity and this is for historical sake as well.
Yeah. So someone can go back and look at exactly what a certain, a certain contestant was, what she was going through before the contestant or after and how she was feeling. And that's something that people can go back to, you know, years on end and see that.
Exactly. And give you an example, even a couple of days ago with Catriona Gray, the current Miss Universe, when she first won last year, we had done an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was released, et cetera, et cetera. Well, before I came up to Atlanta this weekend, we went and re-released it. Because now you can listen to her excitement and see what her goals, what her dreams were going to be as Miss Universe.
Right, right, right.
And look back and did she accomplish those? And for the most part, yes. And she has been a wonderful example here at Miss Universe.
Oh, so, exactly. So you can kind of hear what she had planned for the year. And see, did she actually hit those points that she talked about a year
especially
ago.
Coming from another country.
Right, exactly.
Moving to New York, having Miss USA, Miss Teen USA as roommates, you know, as part of this Miss Universe organization umbrella. It's amazing looking back, and I'm really excited after tomorrow night. Who will be the next interview? Who will be the next cover?
Yeah.
Where will she be from? What was her background? Where did she come from?
And what she's going to do for the rest of the year with this platform that she's given.
And how does she become involved, and how does she become interested in this industry. Some grew up in pageantry from younger ages. Some, it was just a fluke. Yeah. They were discovered in the mall in another country.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting enough, I was talking to actually Miss Iceland's parents, and they told me she didn't own a pair of heels till this year. She said she bought her first makeup this year. And I'm like, because she's a tomboy, her parents were saying. So now, you know, this is someone coming out as a tomboy competing in the most girly competition in the whole world, you know.
It's amazing. And it doesn't change who they are.
Exactly, exactly.
It doesn't change who they are. It's just how they present themselves in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people wonder if I live in a suit or a tuxedo and do this 24/7. No.
No,
I don't.
Okay. All right, we're waiting.
But on social media, you are not going to see me in a normal habitat of my
course,
home.
Of course,
or even at the office. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in Orlando, Florida. In the summertime, if I want to come in a golf shirt and shorts and Docksiders or whatever it is, that's how we're doing it. Someone comes to the office, yes, we'll go get cleaned up. But it's like anything else. This is their stage.
Yep.
This is a performance.
Right, right, right.
That's what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. This is for the Super Bowl title of titles in this industry. This is Miss Universe. We're talking about today.
And honestly, I didn't even realize. Obviously, Miss Universe is a global competition. It's on national TV, et cetera, in every country. But I didn't realize how passionate even the fans are. You know, they were running around chasing the girls around in the hotel in the Marriott. I was standing there just kind of trying to enjoy the moment, and all of a sudden, you know, people are running left and right. I was kind of surprised at the intensity.
At this level of competitions, there are several countries, which shall go unnamed, but we all know who they are, that this is a passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has always been, and it is wonderful that, you know, certain countries are known for this and that. But certainly, when it comes to pageants or modeling, this sets them apart. And that's why many of these have won so many titles at
this type of events. Because of that passion and
because of that training.
And they also have, I'm assuming that because of all this fan and this pressure you get from the public, you kind of have to maintain a certain standard as a country in the pageantry system.
Well, yes. And again, like anything else, you know, in even the number of years that I've been involved.
Right.
A lot of the systems will stay the same, but sometimes the directorship, like any corporation or leadership, will change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the core value is still there to carry on.
Yeah.
And again, you do adapt with the adapting needs of society and what they want and how they receive their information as well.
Yeah. So with that being said, why don't you tell everybody where they can you know, view your magazine online, where they can check out your podcasts, because you it's not just one that you guys are running. It's a couple, I think you mentioned. So just tell everybody basically the general information where they can find all everything on pageantry on Pageantry Magazine.
Well, easy way, Pageantry Magazine. Everything is branded and consistent. Pageantry Magazine is the magazine's name. Pageantrymagazine.com.
There you go.
Website, Instagram, Pageantry Magazine.
Twitter.
Twitter, I have not agreed to do yet.
Forget Twitter. We don't need it. We don't have one either, guys. So
I cannot keep up with. Do I sound like I could keep anything under 128 characters? Really?
But, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But we've always had the Pageantry Podcast, and that's really been out on iTunes for probably over 10 years now.
A couple of weeks ago,
We had just redone a 9,000-page conversion from coding on the website to WordPress so we can have other team members besides just the coders updated after this event, let's say, for Sunday night. So now that's updated. But once that's done, all the podcasts are up to date. And we're just waiting for the go-ahead. It's already been submitted. It's already been approved. But the Pageantry Podcast will now be coming out as well on iHeartRadio.
Right. Congrats to that.
It's on our YouTube channel as well, as opposed to just listening possibly to an audio file.
Yeah.
These will have video inlays and still. So if we're talking about Miss Universe, there's, you know, her picture. There's her crowning moment, actually, from the telecast.
So it's kind of like an interactive video with the podcast overlaying it.
Well, it's like anything. You know, I always tell this to everybody. A radio song is only about 3 minutes because of the attention span. Some of these interviews that I do as well, some can go 5-6 minutes, not too bad. Some, depending on the person that I'm interviewing, who speaks very well, could be going
20
some odd minutes, and you're still trying to edit it down. So we do lay those in just as we talk about this. There's photos of this. Then we talk about swimsuit. Oh, there's a swimsuit photo. Evening gown. There's the evening gown. Because it keeps the listener involved.
Right,
as opposed to just yawn, okay, cut it off after a few minutes.
Yeah,
You know, it's almost like Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon sometimes with me. Well, keep on going, and
that's just today's society, because, you know, when you're sitting here and scrolling up, you know, it literally takes 10 seconds to go see something new. So that's the society we're in today. But I feel like years ago, people actually sat and listened to interviews much longer. And, you know, even with our fans, they already know. Mm-hmm. This is a platform that we try to make timeless interviews. I'm not here to give them a quick 5 minutes of controversy. You know, this is an interview that people 20 years from now, a pageantry girl can listen to this and learn how she can portray herself better, et cetera. Right. So,
well,
you know,
I hope I'm enlightening your listeners a little bit.
For sure. Definitely. Especially this is a whole new world for them in general. So,
it's different for me sitting in this part of the couch as opposed to that part of the couch.
Well, before we end, you have to give everybody your podcast voice. I mean, come on. Give them the yes. We need to hear your intro to your podcast. All right.
It's not just a Southern voice. Is that what you're saying?
No. You had a podcast voice that you turned on the moment you were giving the intro earlier today. So show everybody how you turn on.
Well, it's a lot different when you're on the spot, isn't
it? Yeah, now you're on the spot.
I'm not used to being in front of a camera.
Should we do a countdown?
Yes, you mean like I told you that we do?
Yes.
Let's give it a shot. Are you ready?
All right. 3, 2, here's the intro to their podcast.
And welcome to the Pageantry Podcast featuring Carl Dunn and his special guest, the upcoming Miss Universe 2019, coming at you live from Atlanta, Georgia. We hope you've enjoyed this evening's interview, and we welcome you back to another exciting edition of the Pageantry Podcast.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. When I learn that, that's when I'll make it big. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube. Give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere we have stars. And make sure to check out the Pageantry Magazine and the CEO, Carl Dunn, over here with a lot more Miss Universe content coming out.
Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Thanks for having me.